Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, to learn more about our family of design enthusiasts. Add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. She designs interiors that blend the traditional, personal, and contemporary. Having grown up in a classic American home where art, antiques, and everyday furnishings kept casual company, she's an instinctual creator of visual charm and easygoing elegance. A longtime principal designer at a celebrated Architectural Digest 100 firm, she's widely regarded as an orchestrator of great rooms, stylish spaces, and lovely homes. Her Manhattan-based firm, founded in 2007, is a full-service residential design firm specializing in custom interiors. The firm's currently working on projects in South Carolina, Connecticut, the Hamptons, and New York City. All in all, she's a very busy lady making the world more beautiful. Lillianne Hart, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Thank you, James. It's great to be here.
It's so good to have you with us today, Lillianne. Now, take us back. Where did it all begin for you? When did you first fall in love with design?
I grew up in historic houses in the Northeast, and one of the early houses we lived in for many, many years was a landmark house. It was the President Franklin Pierce's, our 14th President's house, family home, and it was so interesting to live in. There were so many nooks and crannies, and these gorgeous stairs, these big, deep stairs, and 200-year-old wallpaper, and our playroom was their old carriage house, and it was connected, and these big fireplaces that we could all stand in. And I think that was what piqued my interest in architecture and design and antiques, you know, at such a young age.
What an amazing environment to grow up in, or to have experienced as a child. It really must have made an impression on you.
It really did. My parents loved historic homes, and they loved antiques, and our weekends were filled with, you know, hunting around the Northeast for various pieces, and they did a lot of everything themselves too, hanging wallpaper and, you know, refinishing pieces, and it just was the environment I grew up in. And I think that it's always been special for me.
It sounds like a marvelous bank of memories that that you carry around with you. But tell me this. It's one thing to be enamored with beautiful homes and architecture and antiques. It's another thing to understand that that passion could be turned into a profession. So when did that happen for you? When did you realize, oh, I could like spend my life doing this and actually make a living?
Yes. Well, after university, I studied fine arts. And after university, I thought I would go on to being a printmaker, which I loved. But it was a very solitary life. And at the time that I was working in printmaking, I was also renovating a little Victorian house out west. And I loved it. I thought I did it all myself, and I liked the creative aspect of it, but I also loved the fact that it was collaborative, and it, you know, there was it was high pace. There was lots of decisions. It was creative. It sort of had everything. So that's what inspired me to go into interior design afterwards.
And for you, did that mean going back to school or continuing school? What did that mean for you?
I did. I went back after I completed the house. I came back to New York, and I went to the New York School of Interior Design and graduated from there.
What a great school. We're great fans of all that they do over there here.
Yeah, it was a wonderful school. I loved it so much.
And then you were launched into your career, working for, it sounds like a powerhouse firm. Great place to get experience, right?
Yes. I worked with a wonderful designer while I was in school, which gave me a lot of practical knowledge. So I did both at the same time. And then I went on to work for a bigger firm when I graduated.
So you're working for this big firm. I'm sure you're doing amazing projects. When and how did it occur to you that it was time to step out on your own?
I had a lot of requests from my friends to work on their new apartments or new houses out of the city. And I guess, the work with the large firm I had was so exciting, projects all over the country. It was interesting for me to run my own projects and really have my own design showcased. So I think it just felt right.
The natural progression, right?
The natural progression. And I did have work to go to. So right. It was just a natural progression.
We love the way the universe opens those doors at the right time and just makes it feel right.
Yes.
Well, so tell us about the work that you're doing right now. What projects are you working on, and what are you like crazy in love with right now?
So something I am so excited about is we are just about to start work on a very charming Victorian house in Sag Harbor. I love thinking about beach houses in the middle of winter. it just creates a lighter mood in the office. I also love working on vacation homes with clients because I find the process is usually more relaxed and the clients are able to have more fun with weekend house, less requirements. There's just a casualness about beach houses or weekend homes that makes the process fun.
Yeah, it's like the pressure isn't quite as intense as it is in a primary residence.
Exactly. So it's funny because a lot of my portfolio has been second homes, and while it makes traveling more, I travel a lot more, but it is more, they are fun to do. You don't have the same pressure nor the same requirements.
Right. And as you point out, the clients seem to be having more fun about it too, because they're not quite as stressed about the property as they would be about a primary residence. So that must make it fun or more fun all the way around.
Yes, it does.
We like fun every chance we get. So when you think about the career that you have carved out for yourself, Lillianne, great things happening now. We look forward to more great work from you in the future. But what is it about the work that you're doing now that you love the most?
I love my most favorite part of the work is the creative process. I love fabrics. I love colors. I love choosing finishes. I love furniture. So that's probably my most favorite part of interior design. But what also to me is very interesting is the collaboration with the client. I love hearing and analyzing and trying to figure out exactly what a client is looking for. And I love trying to interpret what they're saying to me into something beautiful and cohesive and reflective of their personalities, lifestyle, and tastes.
So when you're thinking about the process that you're of design, the creative process, Lillianne, where do you start? What is your creative starting point in working with a client?
The clients usually dictate where we would like to start in terms of whether the client perhaps has a great art collection, then we might start there, or has a favorite rug, then we might start there and, you know, spiral out around the house. I like to start with looking at images and seeing what a client responds to, and then I try to prioritize because every client is so different. If they are a lover of rugs, then we would start there. That would be the easy place for us to start. If they wanted all jute rugs, and it was about, you know, the color or, you know, just texture, then we would start there. I usually get a fairly good understanding of the priorities of a client, and then that sort of leads us into where we should start.
Makes perfect sense. Listen to the client. They'll tell you what you need to know, right?
Yeah.
So what if that's the, or if those are the things that you love the most about the work, let's flip that coin over and talk a little bit about the challenges, because there are challenges in this business.
That's true. Very much so.
One or two, right?
So on that same point of the client and the initial starting is one of my challenges, and I still find it challenging every single time, is trying to put together a financial proposal after only meeting with a client or seeing the space, you know, once or twice. Because you never, even after the maybe first or second initial meeting, you're not always sure exactly what the client is looking for, or exactly what the requirements might be, or the time that you're going to need to take. So I still find that very challenging.
With good reason, I would say. You sort of have to be a mind reader at times, don't you?
Yes. And I wish there was just a clear way you could do it every single time, but I don't believe there is. Yeah. It's on a, you know, per client, per project basis.
Sure. You have to gather the information that's available and then formulate a plan based on that, and that's always different.
Exactly. And you know, in for me, the more I belabor it, the more it more complicated it becomes.
The more you put it off, yeah. I know how that works. I'm familiar with procrastination. Now, Lillianne, our listeners at home tune in to, you know, to hear your great stories and design tips, but they are looking for those tips to create more beauty in their own homes. Talk to our listeners at home today. Talk to them about creating beauty in their home. What would you say to them just from your heart about creating the most beautiful home they can?
A tip that I have for people is when they're thinking about either starting their home or, you know, creating a more beautiful home, is to try to create a narrative in the home. Try and create a story and try to keep the story throughout the house. I feel like when you walk into the entry should, you know, have something to do with the dining room, and then the dining room should flow into the kitchen, and, you know, there should be some continuity with color, with furniture, floor plans, something that makes the house cohesive.
So a thread that runs through the rooms.
Yes.
That connects it all together.
Exactly. Exactly. I also think that when you're planning rooms, whether it's wall colors or wallpapers, that it's helpful to sample them in advance and to lay them on the walls so that, you know, just even samples on the walls so that you can really see how each room is going to work with the next room.
Yeah, that's, I would say, hugely important. Mm-hmm. Pin up those wallpaper samples, put up paint samples, and really get a sense of what the relationships are like.
Exactly. And then I think, ultimately, if you do that and you create a narrative, that your house will flow together and look beautiful. Each room will work with the next, which for me is always a goal. And I feel like successful houses have some sort of narrative running through them.
Well, some very wise words of advice from Lillianne Hart. Hope everybody's writing things down at home. Lillianne, let's flip this around and talk a little bit about your home, the place that you call home. Do you have a favorite room in your house? And if so, tell us why.
I do. I have a favorite room. It's my living room. I live in a loft, so basically my living room is open to the dining room and the kitchen. But even though it's a wide open space, I've created a very comfortable, cozy living room through the placement of rugs and furniture and bookshelves. Even though it's a part of a bigger room, we've created an intimate space for spending time together.
I'm always fascinated by how that happens, by how you can carve out a smaller space within a large space. It's an interesting study in shapes and forms and the way traffic patterns happen. But it sounds like a lovely space to hang out in.
It is.
Hard to leave, right?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I do love loft living because you are always with your family, which it's fun. It's nice. You kind of always know what everyone is doing unless they're in their rooms, but it's nice to always be. I like always being together when I'm home.
That is nice, a very nice feature. So what would our listeners be surprised to find in your home, Lillianne?
I created a huge wall of floor-to-ceiling bookshelves, which is the backdrop to my living room. It runs about 14 foot long by 12 foot high, which is quite large, quite a statement. I love living with books, and not only do I love to read, but I also love how they look decoratively on the wall.
Yes.
So the shelves are fairly industrial looking. They have floating oak planks with thin metal dividers, and when you first enter the apartment, you don't see them, but when you round the corner, it's just this giant wall of books, which is quite a neat feature.
It sounds marvelous. I'm a huge book lover. So yeah, anytime I can get a wall of books, I'm a happy camper.
Me too.
So if you had an opportunity, Lillianne, to hang out for an hour or so with a designer style hero, someone whose work you really admire, could be living, could be deceased. Who would you pick, and tell us why?
I would pick Kelly Wurstler. I have seen a couple of her closets that she's designed, and they are fabulous, with an amazing attention to detail. I love her fashion style. I think she's chic and rock and roll. And I like her confidence. And I think that I know that she would have a great closet.
Absolutely. Good place to hang out and learn from her firsthand. Mm. Yeah, that's a good pick. Yeah, we like her work around here. What's ahead for you? What's out on the horizon for Lillianne Hart professionally? Maybe something that hasn't materialized yet, but that you're working towards or have your eye on?
I would like to do the Kips Bay Decorator Show House to benefit the Boys and Girls Club. I think it would be an honor to be part of such a prestigious event and contribute to a wonderful charity.
It's a wonderful organization for sure, and the houses are always a thrill to go and see. Well, you just put it out into the universe, so we fully expect it to happen, and we'll be there to cheer you on when it does.
Okay? Thank you. Hopefully next year.
There you go. There you go. We'll watch for that to happen. Talk to us a little bit about decorating advice. What's the very best decorating advice you've ever heard?
I have a couple things, a couple ideas for that. One of the things I think is really nice is to try and mix up high and low furniture pieces in a home so that it doesn't look like a museum or a house doesn't look like CB2, but to try to pick things on the high end and the low end and really do a nice mix of furniture from various places. So that's one thing that I think is a good tip. I also think it's important that people have fun with the process and to try and remember that the goal of decorating is to, you know, create personal interiors that bring you joy. And while I know how difficult it is to make decisions, but to also, you know, have, you know, try and try and be, you know, comforting by that it that these decisions should bring you joy and should bring you, you know, comfort.
I mean, in some ways it becomes a very selfish thing, isn't it? Because your home gets to be all about you.
Yes, 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 but that's how it should be. And it, you know, I always try to have my clients try to, it's important for me that the clients feel comfortable and that they comfortable with me and comfortable with their decisions and to try to lighten the process, not like it's, you know, the most important decision in the world, to try and create a lightness around this decision making.
Yeah, it's not exactly life or death stuff, is it?
Right, right. Yeah. But sometimes it can be.
Well, yeah, yeah. There are those and those clients, right?
Exactly.
So what's one design trend that you see out in the marketplace right now, Lillianne, that you're going to be really happy to see go away?
Ooh, interesting question. My style is more subtle, nuanced, subtle colors, layering of colors. So some of the very bold, mismatched, bright colors together is not my favorite.
Okay. So those combinations where you have to wear sunglasses, you'll be glad to see those go away.
Yes, I would. I think I prefer something more subtle.
Subtlety is good, no doubt about that. Now let's do a hypothetical. We pray that this never happens, but if the loft caught fire, family, loved ones, animals are all safe. But what's the one object in your home, Lillianne, that you would risk the flames to save?
I would love to keep my formal Regency mahogany dining table. It was handed down to me from my parents, so it is very sentimental. It's just gorgeous. That really would be the one thing that I would, I don't know how I would save it.
you'd call on the neighbors and get a team and get it out of there.
Exactly.
Well, we hope you never have to worry about that, but it's interesting to think about nonetheless. Now, you've already told us that you're a book lover, and that resonates with my heart because I'm sitting here in my office surrounded by stacks of books, and I couldn't be happier about it. I'm going to put you on this spot, though. Give us one book, one recommendation that you think should be on the bookshelf of every design lover that's listening today.
One of my favorite books is The Sister Parish Design on Decorating. It's by Susan Bartlett Crater and Libby Cameron. Mm-hmm. And it is a book about where they break a design into different categories, and then they ask designers, quite famous designers, to talk about their, you know, thoughts on something. Mm-hmm. And it is, I love reading this book. I read it over and over again. I think it's so fabulous. And then the book has watercolor illustrations by Mita Corsini Bland. I'm sure you know who that is.
Sure, yes.
And so it's pretty too. It's so pretty to look at.
We love pretty things. So this sounds like a good book to go on everyone's bookshelf. We'll post a link to Sister Parish Designs on Decorating, and listeners can click on that when they go to the website, add that to their home library, and I have a feeling they will be very grateful to you for that recommendation. Thank you.
Great book.
Love it, love it, love it. All right, that brings us down to the last question, Lillianne. Are you ready for this one?
I am.
Good. We finish every show with the same question, so let me paint a picture for you and then get your thoughts. Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the Earth that you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
To begin to decorate.
To begin, yes. It's a never-ending process, right?
Okay, so I would at some point get some more money together, right?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So I first things first, I'd buy some paint and paint the walls, some great colors. Greens, blues, maybe lavenders. I would buy some woven jute rugs because they're an inexpensive solution. And I think I would buy, I think I would purchase some, you know, poofs or day beds to start. I particularly like these hedge house poofs. I think would be fabulous, and I think that would be all I could. Oh, I know. Wait a minute. I think also some garden stools, some candles, maybe some floor lamps, and I think that's all I would have. I would be able to purchase with my $1,000.
It sounds like a perfect place to start, though. Lots of great.
Casual.
Great items there. Casually. Relaxed living.
Exactly. Which would be fine.
It would
to
be.
To start.
To start. Exactly. We can grow into all the rest as time goes by. Lillianne Hart, what a joy to get to speak with you today. Thank you for sharing time with us.
Thank you so much, James. This was fun.
It has been fun. We want to thank our subscribers for tuning into the show today. None of this means anything if it weren't for you. We deeply appreciate you supporting the show, telling your friends about the show, and helping us to grow. Go over to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can catch the notes from today's show. We'll post a link to Lillianne's website so you can follow all the great things that she's up to. We'll also post a link to that great book, the Sister Parish Design on Decorating book, that I know you'll want to add to your design library at home. Click on that, add it by a few simple steps, and I know that you'll be appreciative to Lillianne for that recommendation. While you're on our website, click a few buttons. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.